Father, we thank you, Lord, today that we're able to receive your word, Father. I pray that you'd give us eyes to see and ears to hear what you're trying to say to us, Lord, that our eyes would be enlightened to understand spiritual truth, to see something we haven't seen before, because your word is full of life and it's full of power. And it will not return void, but it will accomplish what it's sent forth to accomplish. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. So this morning I want to talk about, following through with the women we're talking about, is I want to talk about the beauty of God. Amen? The beauty of God. And we're going to start in Psalms chapter 27, verse 4. Psalms chapter 27, verse 4. And the psalmist writes here, "One thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." There's something with the psalmist he understood and got a glimpse of. He got a glimpse of the beauty of God. And many people in the Old Testament didn't understand that the Lord was beautiful. They understood him as a just king. They saw him as a God of justice. They understood him as the creator. They understood him as, in a sense, Jehovah. But David understood, and he had somehow caught a glimpse of the beauty of the Lord. And he said, it's one thing that I desire and I will seek. I want to dwell in the house of the Lord. I want to behold his beauty. We see in Isaiah chapter 33, verse 17, we see, again, Isaiah gets a glimpse of the Lord's beauty. "Your eyes will see the king in his beauty. They will see the land that is afar off." And so Isaiah, again, is another prophet who beheld the beauty of the Lord. And it's very important that we understand that the Lord is beautiful, okay? And if you turn with me to Genesis chapter 1, and I want to encourage you to write down the scriptures, because some of these scriptures we're going to go over in life group, and so you might have questions, or you might want to go deeper, so you should write down the scriptures. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27, right back at the beginning of the book, it says here that God said, "Let us make man in our image," plural. We see the Trinity at work here in the very first chapter of the Bible. "Let us make man in our image, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the things that are on the earth, or that creep on the earth." Verse 27, "So God created them in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." So God created man and female in his image. Okay? And so we see here that God created both man and woman in the image. And God called man and woman mankind. So, you know, we see that God created both of us in his image. Okay? Now, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. Now, a lot of people get confused. Genesis chapter 1, God just gives you the overview of what's going on. Okay? He created the earth. He created mankind. Okay? Genesis chapter 2, he gives you the details of how it happened. Okay? Some theologians have argued that, well, God created mankind here, and then he created Adam and Eve, so there were people that lived before. And we're not going there. What we're saying is in chapter 2, we're getting the details of chapter 1, okay? And so it's here in verse 18. "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone." Everything that God created, every time he finished creating something, he said, "It is good. It is good." He created whatever he created, he said, "It is good." Every day, at the end of creation, he said, "It's good." But this is the first time where God says, "It's not good that man should be alone." All right? And look what he says here. "It's not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." And I want to park on this for a second, because he says, woman will be a helper to the man. Okay? And sometimes women think, well, if I'm a helper, that doesn't make me equal. No, because the Holy Spirit is our helper, and he's equal to the Father and the Son. Do you see that? But what I want to park on is the word comparable. See, God created us both in his image, but he created us different but comparable. In other words, if you have a Mercedes-Benz automobile, okay, and then you have a Pinto or a Volvo, how many know they're not comparable? But if you have a Mercedes-Benz and a BMW, some of you women are looking at me with a blank stare, but the guys understand. When you have two vehicles of the same value, they're comparable, but they're different. Does that make sense? And so God says, I will make him a helper who's comparable to him at the same level, side by side, not under his feet, but to walk with him in and to rule and reign in life together. Does that make sense? And so in many ways, okay, males reflect the authority and the justice of God. Men, I mean, I'm telling you, men represent the authority and the justice of God. Women represent, okay, the beauty and the tenderness of God. Now, that's not to say that women don't have authority. It doesn't mean that women don't, you know, have justice and don't stand for truth. They do. And it doesn't mean that men don't have compassion and beauty. But it tends to seem that women are more compassionate than men. Women are many times more mercy-motivated than men are. It doesn't mean they're not great leaders. There's great CEOs own company that run companies that are awesome business women, but they're more tender and they're more mercy motive and more compassionate many times than their male counterpart. Does that make sense? Because of the way God wired us. You know, I heard a guy this week was talking about a marriage counselor. I can't remember his name now, but he was talking about the way men's brains work. And it says the men's brain is like a bunch of little boxes. You guys heard this? What's the guy's name? Yeah. Gunger, yeah. And he says there's a little box, and each box cannot touch the other box. And one box is kids, one is business, one is, you know, your car, whatever, different aspects of life. And those boxes cannot touch each other. And you open up that box, and you think about that one thing in the box. You can't open all the boxes at once, or you'll go crazy. Because men, we think about, you know what I mean? One thing at a time. And women are like, their brain is like a bunch of wires. And they're just, they're thinking about everything. And everything connects. The kids connect with the house. And the house connects with the relationships and what I'm wearing today. And it's all emotion. It's run by an emotional circuit that goes all over the place. And so women think about, they multitask. Men can't seem to do it as well. Amen? So women and men are very different. Okay? And God created us that way. And so that's why the devil hates marriage, because the full picture of God can be displayed for people. Because when men and women walk together in a healthy relationship with God in the center, you see the beauty of God. Amen? I can't tell you the times I've been up preaching and I'm looking down and my wife is sitting there and she's going, and I'll come over and she'll whisper in my ear, "Don't forget to mention this." And then I'll mention, I'll be like, "Thank you, that's a lifesaver," because I wasn't thinking about, you know, this person who's in the hospital, but her mind's on that. Do you understand? Because women tend many times to be more a mercy motivated than men are, okay? And in the Old Testament, unfortunately, women were not seen as equals because people chose the law side of God and they rejected mercy. And so we see that because people rejected the mercy of God, and women represent the mercy of God, they had to be veiled. Women had to wear a veil because you could see the beauty of woman, but you couldn't see her full beauty, because that whole attribute of God, that part of God, that character of God, that's mercy and compassion and tenderness, was veiled, and you couldn't fully see that beauty in the Old Testament. And I'm saying that because what's happening in the natural is many times a reflection of what's going on in the spiritual. Does that make sense? And so women, the Bible says that now woman had to serve the man. It was part of the curse. And in the Old Testament, we see that mercy and compassion had to serve justice. Women had to veil their beauty. And the Holy Spirit had to be veiled in a temple in the Holy of Holies on the mercy seat. Because the mercy of God all of a sudden was not accessible because of the fall. The mercy of God was hidden behind, and only the priest could come in once a year and receive mercy. You see that? And so, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. Long ago, God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through prophets. Okay? Next verse. And now, in these final days, he has spoken to us through his Son. God promised everything to the Son as an inheritance, and through the Son, he created the universe. Verse 3. The Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God. Can you see that? The Son expresses the very character of God. There were the attributes of God that were represented in the female that were suppressed. We could still see God's mercy in the Old Testament. We could still see his beautiful justice. We could see his beautiful compassion. He put up with so much. But it seemed that justice and truth ruled and reigned in the Old Testament. How many would agree? But now Jesus came with the very character of God. He represented both male and female. He represented the authority and the justice, but he also represented the mercy, compassion, and tenderness of God, too. He sustains everything by the mighty power of his command, and when he had cleansed us from his sins, from our sins, he sat down in the place of honor at the right hand of God. Now, let's look at this again in John chapter 1, verse 17. It says here, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. When Jesus died on the cross, the veil was torn from top to bottom, and the Spirit of grace, the Holy Spirit, came out so that we would have access to the grace and the compassion of God. The very attributes of God that were suppressed because of the fall were now being elevated back to the place where God, in balance with truth and justice. You know, men many times are more concerned about the facts. They want the truth. They want to get to the point. You know, many times we get in a conversation. I get in a conversation even with my wife or with my mother, another female, and I'm just like, get to the point. How many of you guys understand what I'm talking about? Because women, like, they're really connecting emotionally and really connecting how they feel with each situation, and they start trying to open up all our boxes, and we're going, whoa, hold on here, you know. And Jesus came to bring balance. As men are concerned about facts, getting to the point, women represent mercy, grace, beauty, compassion, and intimacy. And I'm telling you that it's comparable to the other aspects of God. But those are aspects of the Lord that have been suppressed throughout the Old Testament. When Jesus came, Jesus elevated that aspect, that characteristic of God. The beauty of Jesus began to be shown. The mercy and compassion of God that had not been seen in the Old Testament all of a sudden were elevated back up. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees said, we don't understand this. Jesus, what are you doing? You're talking to women. You're sitting down with sinners. We don't know a compassionate God, because what Jesus did was he came and he represented that character, that aspect of God that is predominant in women that was suppressed. Does that make sense to anybody? I'm telling you, if there were no women in the world to keep man in balance, we would have destroyed the planet long ago and each other. I mean, we want justice, and we just shoot each other. And I mean, it's the women that come and say, you know, you need to show compassion. You need to be mercy motivated. You know what I'm saying? And there's that beauty of compassion and mercy that women have that men don't seem to operate in at that same level. Does that make sense to anyone? And so after the fall, in the Garden of Eden, women were to serve and come under men in a sense, because it was reflecting what was happening in the spiritual. Truth and justice would trump mercy and compassion. When men fell in the garden, they were cut off from the mercy and the beauty and the intimacy of God, the part of God that was represented in the female was cut off. But when Jesus came, he restored women side by side with men. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 and 28, let's read it here. Okay, let's read it together. For you are all sons, I don't hear anybody, of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Next verse. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And so God said, when you're in Christ, you got the full package. Amen? And so, mercy was marrying truth for the first time since the fall. And we see here, to prove this, we see Jesus protecting the beauty of God. When I was on vacation, I was just studying. The Holy Spirit began to show me what Jesus was doing. When Jesus was actually the woman who was caught in the act of adultery. How many remember that? And all the men came and they said, let's stone this woman because she was caught in the act of adultery. Well, my first question is, where was the guy? Because it takes two to tangle. So you can see the mindset of the people of the day where, like, women were here and men were here. Let's just stone the woman. Let's deal with her sin. And Jesus gets down and starts writing the sins of the people on the sand and gets up and he says, he who has no sin casts the first stone. And everybody walked away because the conviction came. And Jesus looks at the woman and says, your sins are forgiven. He says to her, you know, do you see anyone here condemning you? And she says, no. And he goes, neither do I. Go and sin no more. And he just releases her. Jesus said, I'm going to protect the beauty of God. Because when I look at this woman, I see the beauty of God. I see the compassion of God. With the woman at the well, the disciples were like, why are you talking to a woman? What are you doing talking to a woman, Jesus? You know, and not only that, she's a Samaritan. You shouldn't be talking to a woman. She's here and you're here. And Jesus said, No. I got stuff to do here. And he showed compassion and mercy. And she became the first New Testament evangelist. And she went back and told about the beauty of Jesus and the compassion and the mercy of God. And many, many, the whole village came to Christ. Isn't that awesome? Mary washes the feet of Jesus, and the men, they saw it. They said, what are you doing? This is what awkward. Why are you letting a woman, you know, wash your feet? And Jesus says, no, this is beautiful. This is worship. This is the aspect. This is the trait of God that you have been missing. And now for once, you're seeing beauty and compassion and mercy. That aspect of God is being represented here, and it's beautiful. And it's what God desires. It's what David tasted, and this is what I want the church to operate in. And I want to say this morning. Women, because the Holy Spirit spoke this to me very clearly. Women aren't just beautiful. I want you to say that if you're a woman, say, I'm not just beautiful. Say that. Say, I am the beauty of God. And that might be hard for you to say, but it's true. And when you look at God, when you look at yourself in the mirror, you say, I represent the beauty of God. Isn't that good news? You know, we see, there's one more scripture I want to touch on, and it's in, it's the last scripture I gave you, and I didn't write it down. I think it's in Matthew. You want to bring that up? Matthew. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, here's Jesus speaking. The one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. We see the beauty, in a sense, the feminine side of God coming through Jesus saying, I want to gather you like a mother. Do you see that? And don't leave here and say, okay, well, pastor believes that God's like half woman, half man. No, I'm not saying that because you know what? God is spirit, and those who worship him in spirit and truth. We're not talking body parts here. We're talking about the fullness of God being represented in both male and female. Amen? And I don't know about you, but there's been times the Bible says that God will be a father to you. He'll be a mother to you. He'll be a brother to you. He'll be a friend to you. He can be all things together. Amen? And there are times, the word El Shaddai means the all-breasty one. Speaks of nourishing, how a mother would nourish and care for her baby. And as we read in the Old Testament, we talk about the taking shelter under the wing. It's always the mother bird that shelters the chicks. And so we see that the beauty of God being represented, it was suppressed in the Old Testament. And unfortunately, in many religions, and I go over to, Arab world, and the women are still veiled, and they're still, the beauty is being covered. And we see that these religions do not know compassion. They do not know mercy. They don't know tenderness. Because that was only revealed when Jesus died upon the cross. He tore the veil and allowed the mercy of God to come to his people. Isn't that beautiful? It's beautiful. And in closing, I want to say this because I find it very interesting that the Trinity, Jesus says, you know what? You can say something bad about my Father and I'll forgive you. You can say something bad about me and I'll forgive you. But if you make fun of the Holy Spirit, there's no forgiveness in this life or the life to come. Because the Holy Spirit is the only one that we're told not to grieve or to quench. The word quench means to cause emotional torment. Amen? And that's why the Bible says men, you to love your wives because they're the weaker vessel. It doesn't mean they're weak. It means they're emotionally wired to benefit the kingdom. And if you can crush them emotionally, men can just shake it off and say, okay, whatever, move on. But women are emotionally affected by words and by things. So we have to be tender in that way because we don't want to emotionally crush. And so the Holy Spirit, Jesus says, it's kind of like if someone came, I would say, you know, you can say something bad about me, say something bad about my dad, but if you say something about my wife, we're stepping outside. Okay? Christian or not Christian. I'm telling you, because there's that, the Father and Son protect the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit represents the feminine aspects of the Trinity. Does that make sense to anybody? Hallelujah. God is good. So don't go home tonight and start praying, our mother who art in heaven, because I'm not saying that God is a female. I'm saying he's a spirit, and he has asked us to call him Father because that's the dominant representative of his character. But he does have that side of him that he has elevated in the New Testament church, and that is the compassion and mercy and emotions of God that has come back to the church, and we're standing one in one. And I want to say this. If you're not married, it doesn't mean you're not complete. You don't need to have a spouse to be complete, because when the Holy Spirit comes and pours the love of God into your heart when you get saved, you have the fullness of God. Amen? I'm pointing this out as an analogy of what takes place in the natural is usually what's happening in the spiritual realm. Okay? Hallelujah. God is good. All right, let's stand together and we're going to pray. Did that make sense to anybody today? Let me see your hands if it did, okay? Hallelujah. So, we were at the resort there during the mission trip, and I looked over and I saw how beautiful my wife was, and the Lord said, you know, she is the beauty of God. And I said, well, that's kind of controversial. And then the Lord began to bring me through the scriptures. It was just download. And it was really awesome to get that download. Amen? So, beautiful. So, let's pray together. Why don't we do that? Let's pray together. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word. I thank you that the enemy cannot steal this seed from me, but it's going to be planted deep in my heart. Help me to be tender with the Holy Spirit and to allow the love of God to flow from my life, just as Jesus did, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen and amen. God is good. You may be seated. So how many women here say, I'm beautiful, I'm the beauty of God? Let me see your hand. You are the beauty of God. Amen. God is good.